St. Paul. It's our state representative from District 58A, Christy Purcell. Good morning, Representative Purcell. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. I would be better if I was in beautiful downtown Northfield, but happy to be with you this morning.
All right. You have had a very interesting week this week at the state capitol. A lot of things going on, and we're kind of getting to that late in the session time where things are happening. Let's start off with the governor's State of the State address earlier this week. I think that was Tuesday. You were part of the procession that led him in, weren't you?
I sure was. I didn't realize there's a lot of pomp and circumstance around this. So I was one of five House members, and also there were five delegates from the Senate who walk behind the governor and sort of escort him into the chamber. And so that was really interesting and kind of fun, and I didn't have to do very much except try not to trip as we walked into the House chamber.
Now, how did you get selected for that?
I don't know. the delegation that came from our House, I presume the speaker chooses mm-hmm. that. So there were three of us first years who were from the DFL side. Lee Finke, who is our, I can't remember which publication chose her as the woman of the year for Minnesota. She's our first trans legislator. My friend Mary Frances Clardy, who is a black teacher from Invergrove Heights. Two Republicans, two kind of long-serving Republicans from Greater Minnesota, and myself. And then in the Senate, I got to meet some of the senators. I think there were three first-term senators from the DFL, and then two longer-serving senators from the Republicans. So it was great. I got to actually meet and chat with senators for a little bit and say hi to the governor and congratulate him before we walked into the House chamber.
All right. In the meantime, we're getting to the point in the legislative session where things are just going to the floor. So I imagine it was a pretty busy week on the floor of the House. And I understand you got to address the legislative assembly a couple of times this week.
Yes, my first times. So I picked up the microphone at my desk a couple of times to recall a bill from one committee to another, which is a motion that has to be made on the floor. But that's a pretty scripted, two sentences. So yesterday, for the first time, I presented an amendment to a bill on the floor, which had unanimous support for our agriculture policy bill. And then got to speak more broadly in favor of our two agriculture bills, agriculture policy and agriculture finance. And that was a little more extemporaneous. I mean, I wrote out my speech, what I wanted to say, but time is really a premium. So yesterday we heard five bills on the floor. And ag were the first two and kind of went the fastest and were the least contentious. But I got to talk passionately about how excited I am for a lot of the things that are in our ag bills because as the vice chair, I carried a lot of the bills and just have intimate knowledge and really think a lot of the things we're doing are going to help agriculture. So specifically setting up a grain indemnity fund. So because we've seen grain elevators fail, what happens is the farmers bring their grain to these elevators. They don't get paid right away. And then we've seen these elevators declare bankruptcy and go under. And the farmer not only does not get paid, but also does not have their grain in order to, bring it elsewhere. So this is really screwing the farmers, in my opinion. So it's like more than half the states in the U.S. have these grain indemnity funds, which is sort of a better insurance for farmers to make sure that they aren't the ones putting up the collateral and then left holding the bag. So we will be sorting through the differences between the Senate and the House versions of our ag bills. But that's a really big provision that will be a game changer, I'm hoping, for ag, as well as just investing in soil health and climate-friendly farming practices, farm to school, lots and lots of great stuff in there. So I got to speak about that. And, you know, there's not too many Democrats who might be as excited as I am about agriculture, finance, and policy. So, that was pretty great for me. We did also hear bills on a new proposed, I always forget this word, making a children and families department at the state level, because we know kids do a lot of developing before they, you know, get to kindergarten at age 5. And right now those services are spread across like 6 different agencies. So we heard those bills late last night. And then we also passed our education finance bill. So I've had all the committees that I've served on, now our omnibus bills have passed off the House floor, and I presume we'll go into conference with the Senate in the coming week or weeks, and then final versions will come back to the House before we adjourn on May 22nd.
Now, you had mentioned going through the conference committees and such. Do you have any assignments in the conference committees? Will we be taking part in any of those?
I sure hope so. I don't have assignments yet, but the Senate passed their agriculture bills last week. And now that we have passed ours, I think they have to refuse to concur with our bills, and then we'll get assigned conference committees. I was speaking with the Senate Ag Committee Chair, and he thinks he knows who his 3 conferees will be from the Senate, which would be a smaller conference committee than some of the bigger committees. They'll have 5 people from each chamber. So I'm hopeful that as the Vice Chair of the Ag Committee, that's a part of the process I'll be able to be part of, but we can't assign our conferees, and by we, I mean the Speaker of the House. I have nothing to do with it, but I'm hoping that I will make the cut as one of the 3 conferees from the House as soon as they refuse to concur our bill, then those assignments can get made. So I was asking if he could quick reject our bill so that I could find out if I'm on conference or not. I will probably not find out today, but I'm hopeful next week, and then we can start getting to work, working out the differences between their version of the bills and ours.
Now, are you at the point now where all of the omnibus bills have gone through both the House independently, one through the House and one through the Senate? Is there like a deadline that those have to be in to before the conference committees start?
Yes and no. So those do have to go off of the floors in both chambers before conference committees can begin. But we are not through all those kind of what gets termed the omnibus bills, so the collective bills for each of the committees. My 4 committees have gone through those processes, so the environment bill and local government elections was rolled into our state and local government bill. So those 2 were heard earlier in the week, and then agriculture and education finance were heard just last night. So now all 4 of my committees have gone through that process, but they are not all through the Senate. And we have lots of other conference omnibus bills to hear next week. So we've been told this week and next week and possibly this weekend, although I'm hopeful we're kind of on schedule, so I'm hopeful we won't need to be here this weekend, but we were told to clear our calendars in case we needed to be. So we still have more of these bills to go through our chamber.
Once again, we're talking with State Representative Christy Purcell. Christy, there has been bonding bill has kind of gotten some attention here lately. Will we have one? Will we not have one? The Republicans say, we can have one, but we want this in return. Has that, from your standpoint, has that been a big part of discussions either, within the legislature or just out in the hallways?
Bonding is part of the process I am least familiar with, so I don't serve on that mm-hmm. committee, although I've been trying to pay attention to there's at least, one bill that would really impact our district and especially our region, which is the last couple miles of the Milltowns Trail mm-hmm. to connect so folks could bicycle from Mankato to Red Wing or from Red Wing to Mankato. We're kind of the missing link in there. So the bonding bill process, though, is so unique and different. So because this had been introduced in previous sessions, it was in our first iterations of the bonding bills that the House passed, and then the Senate said, nope, dead on arrival, and they want to do a cash-only bill versus, bonding and sort of borrowing for these projects, as is typical. So I think the chairs are still working on that, but that process is really different. And, with the GOP being in the minority and with the trifecta, they only have so many levers of power that they can pull. And one of them is on bonding, because you need more than a simple majority to get that passed through both chambers. Mm-hmm. So I'm keeping an eye on, trying to make sure Milltowns Trail is not forgotten or skipped in the process. But that process seems to be quite different than the rest of the processes for legislating. So I'm trying my best to understand, but it's a little bit of a black box still for me. So I'm hopeful, I'm optimistic that we can still get bonding. We really see that being so important for Greater Minnesota, for sure. It's a way we can get some of our projects funded, especially when we don't have as many levers to pull for paying for these projects. So I'm hopeful that can happen, but it is sort of a separate process mm-hmm. to my understanding.
All right. Hey, let's close this out. I understand, is it Purple Day today at the Capitol?
Yes. So folks, I hope, will be wearing diamonds and pearls and paisley and purple, because today is the 7th anniversary of the day we lost our very own prince. So he loved the number 7, and it's just been seven years without his love and music out in the world. But there's a section of highway that goes right by Paisley Park. It was actually already a memorial highway for someone else. And so we will be hearing a bill today to rename at least a small section of that highway the Prince Rogers Nelson Memorial Highway. So I'm imagining that there will be lots of purple and paisley and these other nods to Prince today. And we have a little bit of a lighter, I'm hopeful we'll have a little bit of a lighter agenda today on the floor. So last time when Prince passed 7 years ago, there was a keyboard brought into the House and our now Lieutenant Governor sang. I'm not sure we will be doing that just with the time and session and how tired we all are. But a chance to memorialize, one of our own who left us too soon. And I think mm-hmm. we've heard a lot more about fentanyl overdoses and deaths. And that was a really impactful, high-profile Minnesotan to lose in that way. And, of course, there have been thousands of others since then. So I think another opportunity to just bring to light the danger and the difficulty that we're having with opioids across the country and certainly here in Minnesota. So hopefully a little lightness and a little bit of joy on the floor today.
All right. Christy, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us today. Enjoy your day at the legislative session of the legislature, and we'll talk to you again next Friday.
Thank you. That sounds great. Thanks so much, Jeff.
Yep. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Christy Purcell from District 58A joins us every Friday morning at this time during the legislative session. We've got Rich standing by. Local news is next.
This news update is brought to you by Northfield Retirement Community. Rooted in Christian values, Northfield Retirement Community.